The solo saxophone of Patrick Brennan live on Blue Lake Public Radio. And he's playing an instrument from the 1940s built by the Kahn Company. It's an alto saxophone. We're in E flat here. And listening to a series of like staccato punctuations of very broad dynamic range. Your loud is really loud. And then fading away into like a more quieter sound, a more breathy sound. And noticing that, you know, rhythm seemed to take shape within the phrase as opposed to across the entire piece that you just played. I don't know if you intended it that way, but I was kind of catching it that way. And then the high-low, you know, portion there caused its own rhythms to emerge from that. But you're calling this Ronin phrasing, is that right?
That's your
talking point there, Patrick.
That's right. I'm calling it Ronin phasing.
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 Okay, to explain that to our listeners a little
sure.
bit.
Sure. Actually, the project evolved. I've been playing solo work for the last 20-something years, which originally I was terrified of doing, especially after the examples of Steve Lacy and Roscoe Mitchell. I said, well, you know.
Yeah, right.
That's some busy stuff, but I was living in Europe at the time, and I was actually able to work that way, so I pushed myself into it. And in those years, originally, I was playing mostly material of some of my bigger inspirations, Ornette Coleman, Thelonious Monk, things that lent itself to it, because actually my own compositions are way too hard to play solo, because they're multi-leveled compositions with different voices. In a sense, I still work with a notion that I call metagroove, which has its experiential roots for me in the work of the CJQ of Detroit, which I grew up on in the early 70s, late 60s.
The contemporary jazz quintet.
Right,
with Ken Cox
and Charles Moore and Dan Spencer.
That's a good band.
And it was amazing. And I heard them live all the time. And in fact, probably one of the most serious infections I got was hearing Archie Shepp at the Strata Concert Gallery with both Dan Spencer and Archie Taylor Jr., who later became Sadiq Abdushahid, with two drummers. And the two drummer notion between that and Elvin Jones had a really serious effect on me. But what the CJQ was doing was in many ways related to what Tony Williams had brought into the Miles Davis band, which, as I've been learning, actually goes back to his experiences with Sam Rivers. Sam was working with substitutions, not just of chord changes and melody, but of blocks of rhythm and so forth. So when that came in the Miles band, you started getting this thing where you started getting these different kinds of, we all know it from listening to those recordings, especially the Plugged Nickel, where the band would suddenly modulate from one level to another. Another place where that was happening was in Mingus's groups, where Mingus would do that. All of a sudden, he'd insert another tempo. You know, you got this kind of a volatility in the rhythm section.
Yeah, he and Danny Richmond called that rotary time.
Rotary time sense, exactly, you know, which is that the beat itself is not so metronomic. It's something that you can relate to ahead and behind. And so all these things were getting into my nervous system. And the CJQ, when I was hearing them, were doing this systematically in the compositions. For those of you who are deeply in the history, if you find the Multi-Directions record, which was their second record for Blue Note, which Charles Moore told me they were not happy with those conditions. They actually wanted to do the whole thing as a long suite, which is the way they performed. They would have these like these motion cells, like a kind of a repeating stasis going into a real burst ahead into something that feels like it's going backwards. So the whole sense of time and rhythm was very sculptural and very physical and very kinetic. And that stuck with me for years. It took me a long time to catch up to it. But by the early 80s, I had grown enough that I could actually start breaking it down. And I started making compositions that were built with that, effectively little cells, you know, maybe six beats, maybe longer, six phrases. And then these would be like building blocks that you could move around from one kind of kinetic space to another. But another part of the conception was not just that, but figuring out a way that a rhythm section or the whole band could actually communicate these things and be able to actually catch the switches rather than have it all predetermined. You're going around a cycle, which even the CJQ was doing that. I'm going, well, how do we synthesize all these different kinds of motion, the kind of forward moving thing that we associate with swing, the kind of stasis that we get from the vamp that's, you know, most eloquently done by James Brown, but also by what Coltrane was working with in that time. How do you get these kinds of sense of blocks of rhythm almost antagonizing each other in a way, and then free and open development, because you also have, when you're putting music together, it's a political system. In other words, who's really got agency in the music? And in collectively improvised music, you have something where nobody's really calling the shots. So part of my thing was, well, how do we get beyond the kind of default mode in free music people just hit, in standard music people just play the standards, no rehearsal, no anything, everybody comes in, and it's fine. It's a wonderful cultural achievement to have that available. But I go, well, what more can you do than that? So I started to think, how did the role of the composer, how could that, in the way that Mingus worked it and so forth, how could you do that in a way that you could take the improvisation and bring up the level? Ornette Coleman was incredibly successful with that too. So this metagroove kind of language developed through the 80s into the 90s, and I still work with it. And I hit kind of an impasse around 07 where I had pretty much the dream band. And then when it dispersed, I realized I had no place to go except spend 2 more years trying to build up a new group, the economics, the time, et cetera. So what I did was I did kind of my own personal version of the bridge, the old Sonny Rollins story. I basically went on strike. If I wasn't going to be paid, I wasn't going to play. And I started working on trying to take these compositions of mine and putting them directly on the saxophone itself. That is to say, playing what would be the one rhythm that would be the bass line. These are often polyrhythmic. It's really like you're noticing the short notes. It's because I'm emulating percussion ensembles, African percussion ensembles, where each line, the strength of it comes from its contrast to the other. And a lot of the music is not in the sound itself, but in the contrast and the relationship. So I said, well, how could you do this on one instrument? In a way, it was a desperate move. What else am I going to do? So I began working on my own music, beginning to play the different lines at the same time on an instrument that's not even a violin where I can play a double stop, and try to discover a way in which I could do that and actually think multi-directionally on that. The name of the project itself, Ronin Phasing, actually comes from the predicament that put me in that position, which was a Ronin is a dispossessed samurai who no longer has somebody to work for, but has all these skills. And without a composer, without a band, in a certain sense, it was another kind of Ronin condition. And since no condition is permanent, phasing. But then you have the things in the time that it works for that too.
So what do you have for us next?
Well, let's see. What I think I will do now is I'm going to do something that's completely different than what we've been talking about. This is a modality. Sometimes I don't call them compositions per se because they're basically frameworks that are designed to make something happen rather than to finalize it. But this is something that I do that's a whole other approach to the instrument that I call Back At Ya.
Patrick Brennan, live on Blue Lake Public Radio from the Dave Myers Performance Studio here in the Manistee National Forest at Blue Lake Fine Arts Camp.